Show me what you got, and you sit kicking it with your boy, Deola D. Brown, in the building, a.k.a. the Destroyer. Now, this guy's a two-time Nak Muay Fighter of the Year, Anti-Fight Series Super Middleweight Champion. Wait for it. He's ranked number 2 in the world in the World Association of Kickboxing Fighters WACA World Championship Silver Medalist, NADOC 2019 Sports Person of the Year, undefeated anti-champion, Dante the Destroyer. Yo. Rodriguez in the building. What's happening, baby boy? What's going on?
Man, same shit, different day. Bro,
you looking too pretty to be a fighter, bro.
Nah, I reckon I'm pretty rough, actually, but I take that as a compliment, man.
Man, I don't know about you being... Man, come on now. You way too pretty to be fighting, boy. But first of all, man, I gotta ask you, the Destroyer. Where did that nickname come from?
Oh, actually, funny story. So we kind of got this rule in fighting. It's like a secret kind of, you know, unspoken, unwritten rule.
Right.
If you make your own nickname, you're, you know, kind of lame.
You gotta earn it.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. So my first fight, you know, after I knocked this guy out in the third round, whatever, hopped up on the ropes, chucked my hands up, and I looked into the crowd, and there was a massive sign there saying Dante the Destroyer. And just from then on, it stuck.
You've had 14 fights total. Dude, man, tell us about some of those fights and how you got to that level.
Oh, well, you know, like at the start, you know, just did local fights, took what we could, you know, and just worked hard. I just trained all the time. I trained when I had my first pro fight when I was 14.
No way.
Yeah, 14. I had my turned pro. A lot of pressure there. I did lose that fight.
Okay.
But performed well enough that it opened up, you know, opportunities everywhere else.
Yeah.
And I just kind of took it as it went along, and I never really said no to a fight. When I was 15, I hopped in with a guy that was 25.
No way. Yeah. 10 years age gap.
Yep.
What?
And I fought him for, you know, an ISKA Muay Thai title as well. And I just, after that fight, I just kept going. And I had another fight in Darwin. I won that unanimously. I think that was for an NT title.
Yeah.
And then after all that passed, I had a Queensland title fight for WACO in Queensland. And then after that, came back to Darwin, received a letter saying they would like me to go into the Worlds.
Whoa.
Yeah. So after that, just took that, and then that's how we went to the Worlds from there.
Talk us through that experience, man, of you going to the Worlds, man, because I mean, that's the top of the game right there, man. Like the best fighters in the world, and you emerged number 2.
Yeah.
Taking home the silver medal in that one. Talk us through that experience.
Nah, it was the most amazing.
I'm sure.
But the most, like, at the same time, was like the hardest thing like I've ever do in my life.
Yeah.
So, you know, the whole experience was amazing and can't wait to do it again, but that training camp was absolutely hell. Yeah. It was crazy, man. But made some lifelong friends and stuff. But fighting in front of all those people in about 80 different countries and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It was definitely nerve-wracking, eh? Just like warming up in the change room and you hear him, like thousands of people outside.
Gotcha.
And I was, you know, in the last round, after fighting all these other countries, in the last round, I was fighting Russia.
Yeah.
And Russia had a team of 300 fighters on their group, yeah? And then Australia came to their Worlds with 15. So, you know, it was kind of nerve-wracking. They had so much support behind you, and the whole crowd was just chanting for them.
Yeah.
And it was just, it was crazy, man. And it was a good experience, and I was supposed to do it again this year, but, you know, kind of.
Yeah. How do you get into that game mode, that fight mode where you're locked in and nothing else matters but that ruthless demeanor you build up and that person in front of you? Run us through some of what goes through your mind before a fight.
All right, so I actually had a lot of problems with this in the past, right?
Yeah.
I was too much of a nice guy, and it affected the way I fought. We had to hire a sports psychologist to come and program me in
all this.
Yeah, because I used to struggle real bad with that, eh? So about, you know, 2 months before the fight, then we'll flick the switch and we'll go into fight mode. So training, you don't even socialize with, like, other people.
Yeah.
You just train, sleep, and you get into this, like, real angry kind of, you know, lonely state where you have to be humble outside but cocky inside, and you have to be real arrogant. So that happens like 2 months prior before the fight, and then the day before the fight, the weigh-in, you're just like, you're not the same person, man. Not the same. 90% mental, man.
Right, I'm sure. Yeah. I mean, that's what sports is generally, man. It's a lot of mental work, you know. And that's why I'm really big about mental health in sport. Do you guys go through any mental health stuff? Maybe not you, but other fighters. It's getting bigger and bigger in sport, especially being fighting and having a lot of trauma and blows dealt to the head. Is that a big concern in fighting sports?
Yeah. I've had a lot of mates as well that's just couldn't do it anymore.
Right.
Yeah, it helped. It doesn't. It's not good at all.
Yeah.
Like, because when you go into fighting mode, man, you train about 6 or 7 hours a day.
No way.
6 days a week. So, and like, your life evolves around that sport.
Yeah.
You, like I said before, you don't even socialize with other people. You block it out. So,
yeah.
It's real hard to do. And it definitely, some people, especially when they have other things going on in their life, it's hard.
How do you deal with that pressure, though? Especially being in an individual sport, you don't really have a lot of teammates to talk to. Mm. You know, it's just you. You know, how do you deal with that as a fighter?
You have a lot of keyboard warriors, and, you know, especially in a place like Darwin, you know, it's very small. If you lose in front, you know, there's people in your own hometown going to start bagging you out. It's happened to a lot of my mates as well, and they get, like, bullied, kind of, you know? And it's not just keyboard warriors, so you have a lot of pressure, you know, fighting. It's a violent kind of thing outside of, you know, that's how guys, whatever, sort things out or whatever, you know what I mean?
So
if you lose a fight, you know, they think you're a bad fighter and they think they can, you know, start stuff. For me, it's always been about the pressure of everyone just watching you. Mm-hmm. I've, you know, fought all around the world and stuff like that at such a young age. You know, I was 14 and I had a whole of Darwin watching me when I was fighting pro, and when I was 16 fighting for worlds and all that kind of stuff. You know, everyone on your back riding you, just when you're out there by yourself as well, and it really eats to you, eh? And you know, as a fighter, you always have to be like that tough guy kind of person. You can't really, you don't talk to anyone. But I guess the best thing is you do have to find someone to talk to with it, you know. And myself, last year I was supposed to fight in NT Fight Series 2 and defend my title. The doctor didn't clear me because I had a really bad concussion I was hiding, but that concussion, I actually got hospitalized.
What?
Yeah, I blacked out, man. Like, I had a fight a month before that, the Queensland title, if I was talking about.
Yep.
So I knocked the guy out in the first round, but I don't know what happened, but on the plane ride back, my head just, like, felt like it was going to explode. Went to the doctors, and he said, I've got a concussion, you know, don't train or do anything for 6 weeks.
Wow.
But, you know, I had a fight straight after that, so I couldn't stop training. So I kept training, and it got to the point where I just, like, in my room one night, going to sleep, and then I got up to get water and I was completely blacked out, hit the floor.
What?
Yeah, my dad came and dragged me out and took me to the hospital, spent a couple nights there, tried to lie to the doctor, you know, to fight again.
Just so you could get in a ring.
Yeah, he caught me out, man, but it's, it's hard, and after that, I couldn't train for months and months, and, like, even now, I'm still having problems.
Whoa.
Yeah, like, random, like, you know, coughing out blood and all that kind of stuff.
Whoa.
It's bad, man, but you gotta love this sport, otherwise you won't stick to it.
Yeah, and, I mean, we have a tremendous amount of break now that you can get some rest from and come back, because we want to see you in the ring again, though.
Oh, man, I want to see me in the ring.
I know, you got thousands.
It's been over a year, man.
Yeah, you get tens of thousands of fans waiting to see you get it in again, man.
Yeah.
You know, but tell us a little bit about your history, man, and a little bit about Dante that nobody knows about you.
Okay. Well, everyone knows I'm Portuguese, you know.
Yeah.
I'm brag about that all the time. But my mom's actually Aboriginal as well. Yeah, so
nice.
I was actually the first fighter to hold the Aboriginal flag the worlds.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And she was in tears when she saw that. Mom's indigenous, dad's Portuguese. Not much to really know.
I've seen a lot of guys who get trained by their parents or their dad, you know, and sometimes it works out really well. In your case, it has. What has been the challenges or the great part of being coached by your dad, and how has that role of being a father and a trainer or coach come into play with your situation?
Well, it definitely makes you have a lot more respect, not just towards your father, but towards your coach as well, because he's literally taught you everything, you know, not just father and son. He teaches you, you know, fatherly way. Mm-hmm. He's teaching you as a student as well. It's good. Sometimes, you build a bond, but most of the time, it makes things hard at home.
Yeah.
In my case, and did anyway. All my brother, my sister, and I were all born into the sport.
Yep.
And, you know, we're forced to go training and stuff like that. I was 7, 8 years old, and I was in training camps in Thailand with all these professional fighters, you know, that fighting won championships and all that kind of stuff. And I was like 7 or 8 years old, you know, just doing training camps over there, and I'll be crying. I don't want to be there. I just want to, you know, just be a kid, and I had no choice. In my case, at home, it made things very hard, because you're not just facing it as, you know, he's not just your coach, he's not just your father, and he's both, and he's in your face a lot. And then when you come home from training, the training don't stop.
He's right there,
man. And he's like, And it's really like tough love too, because you know, you see all these kids with their parents like, oh, good work, you know, like all this. My dad, every time I finish a round, you know, no matter who he puts in front of me, I'm not bragging, but whoever he puts in front of me in sparring, and I'd beat him, I'll never get one compliment, or it's just things I need to keep fixing, and it like hurts, you know, sometimes, you know, and it's like, you know, can you just be proud of me, man? Like, I know he
is. I can totally relate to that.
Like, I know he is.
Yeah.
But, you know, when he's your coach and your father, you don't see it at all. Not really, anyway. Because he's always has to be hard on you. But, yeah, look, I'm 18. And I'm freshly 18.
You're a big boy now.
I turned 18 in December.
Right.
And I've moved out of home about a month ago. Just, you know, solely for that reason. And, you know, it helped. Like, you know, it was hard at the start. But it definitely helped. Now I see my dad, I'm like, it's good to see you, kind of thing.
How is your relationship with him now, though?
Oh, amazing.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it's good now.
You know, but of course, you're a champion. You're a tremendous athlete, competitor in two different sports. Kickboxing and Muay Thai. Which one are you picking, bro?
Oh.
I mean, you're turning into a man. You're going to be 18. And then you have to pick one. You know, that's as it stipulates, you know, which way?
You know, they both have their pros and their cons.
Right.
So, but if I was to, you know, pick a way that I was going to go, it would probably have to be K1.
Okay.
Mainly because it's just, I think it's more money in it, and it's true. Bigger in Europe and all that kind of stuff.
All about the money, baby. I'm with that, bro. If I was you, I'll do the same thing, man. That's the same. That's the man, Dante, a.k.a. the Destroyer in the building. Real quick, before we let you go, man, any words of advice or encouragement for youngins out there who want to take up a sport or fighting, kickboxing, you know, Muay Thai, whatever it is, and want to shoot for the stars?
Well, if you're passionate about it, man, no matter how hard it gets, you just have to stick to it. Because, you know, I've seen a lot of people with a lot of potential just, you know, when things get hard, they make every excuse in the world, you know, to leave. But there's always just like one reason to stay, and that's what you just have to hold on to. Like, I wouldn't be where I'm at if my dad didn't legit grab me by the ear and drag me to training every day. I hated him for it back then, but now I'm so thankful because, you know, look where I'm at now. So all I can say is discipline. Yeah. Consistency is key. Yeah, stick to it.
Absolutely. No matter how hard it is, stick with it. Words of Dante, thank you so much for being on the show, man. Mr. Destroyer, appreciate it.
All right, man. Thanks for having me, eh?
Very wonderful words right there from Mr. Destroyer himself, Dante Rodriguez. Of course, you can jump onto territoryfm.com/podcast to listen to the whole interview, or jump on Dante's Instagram page to watch a video of that interview session. And of course, it's on the Show Me What You Got channel on YouTube. And stay right there, because we will be right back to wrap up the show.